locked for the ungodly, for the unbelievers, and the impious, the Old Testament is simply an old code of ethics and laws. And do you know what is the New Testament? A newer code of ethics, revised, renewed, and improved, which is now 2,000 years old, and it has also gotten old, and it does not matter too much. This is how most people, how the unbelievers and the lawless, look at the Holy Scriptures. For the faithful, however, the Holy Scripture is life. It shows, prepares, and pre-announces. It points to the kingdom of God. All these things, my friends, are markers for the faithful. Only for those who have the Holy Spirit, and He opens their eyes to see. And this is what we truly pray with all our heart for us to have. But we'll continue next Sunday.
Amen.
this aroma of the kingdom of God, then this gives me consolation. This helps me. This is precisely why the angel appears here as the sun, because we shouldn't forget that the faithful will shine, as the Lord told us, they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of his Father. Sixth, the feet of the angel, and his feet were as pillars of fire. This is especially accentuated in the frescoes of the Holy Mountain, where this angel is depicted with some strange legs. His legs are humongous, super tall, like pillars. The prophet stands very short in front of him, and the angel is of gigantic dimensions, extremely tall. His feet are like huge bottles, like pillars, and the one foot stands in the sea and the other on land. We will see the symbolic meaning of this. These feet are fiery, and what is the meaning of these fiery feet? According to St. Arethas, these great fiery feet serve no other reason but to punish the impious, and the punishment of the impious from these spectacular feet will take place from their burning quality and not their illuminating quality. We talked about this point before, but it's very noteworthy, and it wouldn't hurt to mention it again. God is fire and light. Actually, God is light, and as light, it illumines but burns as well. Much like the sun, it is light which illumines, but it can burn as well. Now, the righteous in the kingdom of God will be receiving the illumination of divine glory emanating from Jesus Christ, the state of illumination, the illuminating attribute. St. John tells us, and this is at the very end of the book of the Revelation, I did not see a sun in the city of God. I did not see a sun because the sun is now replaced by the light of Christ. The light of divine glory is present, and we do not have any need from the natural created sunlight. Thus, the illuminating quality of the divine glory stays with the righteous. But the divine glory fills all things everywhere a created world exists. It also reaches Hades and hell. God is present there as well. Of course, he's certainly present there, but his presence is felt as fire that burns. The burning quality of the divine glory reaches hell, and not the illuminating quality. Not what illumines, but what burns. So what reaches the righteous is only what illumines and does not burn. And the impious receive only what burns and not what illumines. And this explains the outer darkness, extreme darkness. Outer means of great distance. In essence, a darkness much greater, many times darker than what we know. But at the same time, inextinguishable fire, asbestos, fire that never goes out. But fire presumably gives off light. No, not there. That fire only burns without giving off any light. It only has the burning quality, the burning characteristic. So when the angel steps on earth and the sea, it means that he comes to punish the impious all over the earth by this method, with the burning quality of the divine glory and not the illuminating quality. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. When the evangelist John sees this angel to stand on the land and the sea, as he stated so accurately here, he insinuates the island of Patmos. The island of Patmos is rather small, and if you ever go to the grotto of the evangelist, you will see the sea circumventing the island. Your eye can see all around the island. The eye can glance the entire perimeter of the island. The island's kind of small, very small. So he sees the angel to step on the land and on the sea, wishing to say that the angel rules over the land and the sea. And consequently, John's exile to Patmos was not the result of Christ's weakness, but a result of Christ's permission. John is found there because this is Christ's will. Christ allows this. However, the angel shows his sovereignty on the entire earth, as wishing to say, John, don't fear. Because you are isolated here on this island, do not fear, because you are far away from your beloved church of Ephesus, and you are stuck here on this small and dry island. God is behind this. God is allowing this. God is powerful. Can you see me stepping on the land and on the sea? Do not fear. God is sovereign over all. The powers of darkness, no matter what they do, they are awfully weak. I told you that the angel was holding a tiny book. However, it is not the same book that we brought up at previous chapters when it was said, who will open the book sealed with the seven seals? And no one was found, not in heaven, nor on earth, and in Hades, to open this book. And while I was crying, John says, a voice was heard coming from an angel standing next to me. Do not cry. Someone was found. He's the Lion of the root of Jesse, of David. But this is an altogether different book, smaller in size and not sealed. It is open, which means that what is written in this book is part of that sealed book, the contents of that book. Please pay attention to this. It is the remaining mysteries which will be revealed in the book of the Revelation, the things which will take place from that point on until the end. And consequently, it is one part of the things to be revealed. And since you will write about these things, it is not necessary for the book to be sealed. It is open. The angel appeared to be saying, you will prophesy. This is what's at hand. You will prophesy about the things to follow. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their own voices. This is somewhat strange here. We see the voice or the cry of the angel initially to be very frightful and to instill fear on the earth, a fear that condemns or a fear that leads to repentance. But, you know, it is necessary for this to take place so the people to be overtaken by fear or to leave possibilities to repent. And what are these voices of the seven thunders? The number seven shows fullness. With the word thunder in the scriptures, we always understand it to be the voice of God. But the voice of God along with the number seven, which means fullness. So here we have the message, this message from God himself. When the Lord was speaking to the crowds and at some point, he turned his eyes to heaven and he asked for the name of God to be glorified. Then a voice was heard from heaven, a voice like thunder, saying, I have both glorified and I will glorify it again. John 12:28. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. This was the voice of the Heavenly Father. Likewise here, the voice of the seven thunders is the voice of God. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. Here the Holy Evangelist appears to be writing the very moment he is watching this vision. He was seen and he was writing at the same time, even though according to tradition, he was dictating his revelation to Deacon Prochoros. This is what we know from our holy tradition, that Deacon Prochoros was doing St. John's writing. However, this shows his eagerness to write about everything. The Holy Evangelist wants to record everything revealed to him. But here, while the voice of God continues to reveal, he is told not to write down these specific revelations. This knowledge of the seven thunders is meant to be only for the ears of the prophet. Only he will know these things, possibly because this could be dreadful punishment for the impious, which could terrify even the faithful had this made known to them. There are some things, my friends, that it is best for people not to know. Man cannot handle this knowledge. It is not to his best interest. I will bring up one or two points which the wisdom of God hides. Do we know when we will die? Can you imagine what would be happening if we knew the time of our death? Our life would be martyrdom. If we would say, I will die on such and such year, we would be living expecting the day of our death. This would be dreadful. By not knowing the time of our death, a multifaceted plan of God is served. God has many reasons not to allow this knowledge for us. But something else along the same lines, when will the end of the world be? We do not know. Why is God keeping this from us? It is not in our best interest to know. Why didn't he reveal to us the name of the Antichrist from 2,000 years ago? When the Antichrist would come? Or what is the name of the Antichrist? Listen, John heard the name of the Antichrist. The evangelist John knows he heard it, but he did not reveal it. He wrote only the number of his name in a cryptographic form. Likewise, here God tells him, this information is only for you. This is not for the rest of the world. Do not write this. This must not be written. The love and the wisdom of God hides this. So this is not a weakness. And this was not done so we could give in to unhealthy curiosity. This was not revealed for the reasons we spoke about. However, when the time comes, then at the proper time, this revelation will take place. St. Arethus writes on this point, seal this and keep it secure in your mind. He writes this about John. Do not make it known at all in your writings. Maybe it is best for this knowledge not to be presented or revealed before the presence of the last days. So here we have a cryptogram, a silencing. Something is insinuated, but the rest is silenced. This is a privilege of the prophet. This is hard, however. It is not easy to know what others do not know, something that he must never reveal to anyone, something that he must only know. Imagine, my friends, if a person knows when I will die, something that I don't know, and I'm clueless about this. How must this person feel, especially if this person happens to love me? So you can understand that this knowledge can be very hard, difficult. Something similar happened with Daniel the prophet. This is worth mentioning here. And you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal this book until the time is finished, until the fulfillment of time. What time? Not the entire history. Until the time finishes for all the things prophesied. And this was until the birth of Christ, or if you will, the presence of Antiochus, the Epiphanes, and so on. Seal these things, he says, meaning that all those who read your prophecies will not understand except when the time of the fulfillment comes. And please pay attention to this very important point. It helps us understand this very book of the Revelation, here and now. Whatever we're able to understand, it means that the time has come for us to understand. Whatever we don't understand, it means that the time has not come. Do whatever you want. You will not be able to decode the name of the Antichrist. However, some other things we can see, as we were saying the previous time, about the 200 million of cavalry, 200 soldiers, this has become a reality. The possibility is real. This we know. When you see the colors red, blue, and yellow, we cannot help but be amazed. We were saying at a previous time, and we repeat, this is really, truly amazing. these colors were meaningless only a few centuries ago. They were unknown. No one could make any sense out of these colors. Today, however, these colors come to let us understand a lot. And the continuing of this prophecy of Daniel is of much interest to us when it says, "And I heard, but I did not understand." There are certain things that the prophet hears but does not understand, and they need to be explained to him. And I said, "Lord, what are these last things?" Not the end of times as far as the history is concerned, but the last days in relation to Christ's birth and so on, in relation to his first coming. I underline this for you so you can know it. The prophets and their prophecies are not exhausted. Their prophecies do not become totally fulfilled in the first presence of Christ. The prophets of the Old Testament are not exhausted. This is why we must study the prophets of the Old Testament, much like the New Testament. It is a delusion to think that only the New Testament matters, and we should only concentrate on the New Testament. The Old Testament prophets have not been exhausted. I repeat once again. And the Lord tells Daniel, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are closed and sealed till the time of the end, until the necessary time passes. Many must be tested and thoroughly whitened and tried with fire and sanctified. But the transgressors will transgress, and all the transgressors will not understand. But the wise, those who have understanding, will understand." So according to the scriptures, only the godly people will understand. Consequently, the Holy Scriptures, the prophecies, are locked for the ungodly, for the unbelievers and the impious. The Old Testament is simply an old code of ethics and laws. And do you know what is the New Testament? A newer code of ethics, revised, renewed, and improved, which is now 2,000 years old, and it has also gotten old, and it does not matter too much. This is how most people, how the unbelievers and the lawless, look at the Holy Scriptures. For the faithful, however, the Holy Scripture is life. It shows, prepares, and pre-announces. It points to the kingdom of God. All these things, my friends, are markers for the faithful. Only for those who have the Holy Spirit, and He opens their eyes to see. And this is what we truly pray with all our heart for us to have. But we'll continue next Sunday.
Yeah.